Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I'm your host, Juett C. Payne, and you are back for episode 63 of this podcast. If this is your first time here, I would love for you to subscribe and go ahead and hit the bell so you don't miss any episodes. We drop a brand new episode every single week. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that, I want you to do the same so we can reach so many more Kingdom creatives through this podcast. But without further ado, I do want to introduce my new friend,
very new friend.
Just like, barely met.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago.
Literally. This is my friend Lizzie Cohen. Lizzie, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be here.
This is so great.
I know.
So this is how we connected, y'all. So, you know, I'm just chilling, minding my own business like I be doing, you know. And I get a text from Sarah Baker.
Yes.
And she texts me saying, hey, Joy, do you want to come to this awesome event we're going to have in February? I was like, this sounds amazing because you guys already know my heart with the Creative Encounter events we had. And this was amazing. And I was like, yo, let's take it a step further and do like an episode to talk about the event, to invite people to come out and all that good stuff. And she said, oh, my girl Lizzie, you know, you can connect with her. And here we are.
Here we are.
This is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you know Sarah.
Yeah.
I have a great story about meeting Sarah.
Oh, please. I would love to hear it.
So I decide, actually, I get on the train. Mm-hmm. I see a advertisement mm-hmm. for the Salvador Dali exhibit at the art museum.
Okay.
And he's a really funky painter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even really like his work very much, but you know those things where you're like, I think I just need to go to this thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm downtown and it is the windiest day downtown. And I'm like trying to get to the art museum and I am on this street and I'm like not wearing enough clothes.
Yeah.
And then the wind is just hitting me. So I like try and jog over a block to get to like closer to the museum. And this girl stops me on the street and she was like, oh, hey, you know, we're doing some surveys. Like, would you be willing to take a survey?
Yeah.
And I worked in campus ministry. And so I know what, do you have time to take a survey means? It's oftentimes there's a reason.
Exactly.
People aren't usually just collecting information for, you know, their own personal interests. So I take this survey and it's a spiritual survey. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, I was like, hey, just want to let you know, also a Christian.
I was like, hey, let's go.
Also a creative. Yes. And so she just prayed for me. It was like such a gift of like being stopped on the street. Mm-hmm. And she invited me to an event that she had been planning.
Yeah.
And so I thought about going and then she reached out to me. I had given her my number.
Mm-hmm.
And when she reached out to me, she said, oh, okay, so we're having this dance showcase. And I told her I was a painter. She's like, I'm actually interested in having like a live painter at this event. Would you be interested in coming and doing a live painting during this event? I thought about it. I had been praying about it, but I didn't know anyone who would be like up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met on the street.
Wow.
And so I got to enjoy that event with her, live painting, share about my process of praying while I paint. And that's how our relationship started.
Insane. Yeah. That's so cool. There's so many elements and layers to that. Like, first of all, just being downtown. Yes, Chicago is windy. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. So windy,
You know? But also, I just love, like, you guys are out there on the street on Michigan Ave.
Yeah.
Praying. Yes. Like, and just people seeing and witnessing that. You know, we want people to witness our prayers and our relationship with Jesus, you know, publicly, you know? So that's awesome.
That's so
you know?
Yeah.
So I absolutely love that moment happen.
Yeah.
And then, man, I wish I knew that you painted, though. Like, I mean, I'm finding out today, but, like, I wish I knew... You know, so knew you months ago because do you know Sarah Freeman?
I know a Sarah Freeman, but
Sarah Freeman, she dances with Sarah Baker sometimes. They did Sat in a Boat together.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but Sarah Freeman, she danced at my live album recording we did back in July.
Cool.
And whenever I do big events, I love to have live dancing and I love to have live painting.
Yeah.
That's just like if you look like at previous videos, that's just the thing that I just love doing. But I couldn't find anyone for that event. You know, with the timing, like no one could just do that date specifically.
Yeah.
So that would have been so dope.
Man.
But yeah, future.
In the future. If you got another event, just hit me up.
I love it. That's so cool. So I want to kind of sit there. So when did you get into the craft of painting? Like, I love to hear the backstory of when you got into the arts, where did it come from, what inspired you, and then you even just continuing in it, all of that.
So I'll say I grew up in a very creative environment. Both my parents are musicians. My mom was a classically trained pianist and a singer. My dad plays a clarinet. Everyone in my family sang and played music and all those things, and so I was at least in a musically creative environment. I always took to spaces, like caring for spaces, and my parents were cool with me, like, painting my room and designing my space. And so,
very nice. That's so cool.
I went to school for interior design.
Yeah.
I care a lot about what a space and the environment, like, creates for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where my life focus was for a while.
Let me pause you there real quick. So you came into my space.
Yes.
Like, does it meet your standards?
You know, I think every space, if it has a purpose and it, like, leads into the purpose that it has. So, like, being in a studio, instruments, like, the space is set to do and accomplish the thing that it is set to do. And so
the functionality.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing. So I studied architecture.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, you know, interior design architects, you know, we'd be, like, right there together, you know? So that was a big thing, with just, like, circulation, you know, the aesthetic, functionality, all of those things being key and optimal and stuff. So I love that we're on the same train of thought with that, too.
Yeah, and design can kind of skew a little bit more towards the, like, frou-frou, and I kind of hate that.
Yeah,
I love beauty. I want beauty in the world, and that moves into my artwork, but I don't want it at the sacrifice of the function, because what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, now I have to step over this thing to get to the other side of the room.
Just,
like,
just for that look, that one little
So I want them merged together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went to my undergrad in interior design.
Yeah, very cool.
I always painted. I always tried to avoid, like, math and science, and, like, take as many art classes as possible.
So you definitely wouldn't have wanted to do architecture. I was like, we had to do all of that.
I think if I knew what it was for, sometimes, like, learning for learning's sake as a young person, for me, it was hard. I wanted to know what it was for, what it was building into.
Wow.
But I have painted since I was young.
Yeah.
And I think I went on this journey of finishing school, going into ministry, doing campus ministry. I had, like, major doubts in my faith after a few years, and God just took me on this long journey of lots of different jobs, kind of, like, dipping my toes in different things, trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And in between every job, I would paint to kind of, like, get my head right.
Wow.
And he just flipped it on its head around the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I started actually seeing myself as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he flipped the script that I had written on its head.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I keep having these, like, short jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somewhere between 6 months and a year and a half. And it's like, it's like I'm on, like, a revolving door and it keeps going and going. And then I hit this, like, 1 to 3 month gap and then I just paint.
Mm-hmm.
And he, at some point I was praying and he was like, I kind of see it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I see you as, like, doing the work of painting and then you take these gaps and you get scared and then you go take these jobs. And you're nervous, I'm not going to provide for you. And you try and go do these other things,
girl.
And you just don't want to admit that this is, like, one of your biggest callings is being a creative person.
That was one of those prayers
that you're just like, oh, it took me so long to see it.
Dude, God, he be smooth with it, though. Like, when he be saying this, like, oh, my goodness, like, same thing, like, being able to. A lot of stuff I talk about on here is structuring your time around your creative gift. You know, because when we work for others, we will definitely punch in on time, do those 40 hours for them and all this stuff. But then when it comes to us and us taking care of what we need to be doing, we put ourselves on the back burner so much.
Yeah, that's so true.
And, like, that just needs to stop. Like, what? Imagine if we flipped to where, like, in the waking hours where we have our most energy and we're optimal, use all of that for ourselves, and on the back end, do all of the other things. And so just putting yourself first, not in a selfish way, but you're doing the work of God with what he gifted you with, and put all your energy and time into that, you know?
That's so good.
Like, that would be so insane if we could all just walk in there.
That would be amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the person who sees the negatives before the positives.
Okay.
And so I see all the reasons why it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of an area where God is like, tending to me a little bit, because he's like, wow, you're really sure of why this won't work, and it's harder for you to see what I could do, how I could come in, how I could meet the needs, how you know, just there's a lot of stretching, a lot of stretching happening.
The all the scriptures is a sweet spot to read, but the sweet spot with that would literally just be right there just reading the Gospels.
Yes.
You know, just God just saying, like, why do you have so little faith? Like,
yes.
And it's just, he always will bring them that question.
Yeah.
Why do you have so little faith? It's like, snap, why do I? Like, he's like, I'm literally right here with you. Mm. And even to that degree, you're still having a hard time believing.
Yeah.
And now, even with Christ doing what he did for us, we can be in relationship with him all day long, just commune with him all day long. So he's right there with us. He's in us. The Holy Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
And even still, we can let fear take over. So it's just really, just like you said, just having those moments of prayer and just the intimacy with him and reminding ourselves of, like, this is who he is. This expanding universe that won't, that can't stop expanding.
Yes.
That's how cold he is, to create a universe that can't stop expanding. So how much more can he do for, like, little old us?
That's crazy.
You know? It's yeah. like, girl, I love it.
There's that verse that, I forget the reference, but he's saying, like, you really don't need to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that you need those things. Mm-hmm. I provide those things for you.
Yes.
But, like, if you seek the kingdom first, like, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm over here and I'm like, what am I going to do for my job?
I know.
And he's like, I got a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah.
And so I'm, so I feel like a toddler. Like, I'm like learning, like, hey, God's got lunch on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eat lunch and I'm like, what's for dinner? Oh, are we going to have dinner? Yeah. And he's like, I've got it coming, but like, there's still some time. Yeah. Like, you could do some.
That's so good. That's such a good
You could play
reference.
A little bit, you know?
That's so good. Such a reference. Yeah. That's so good. Wow. Yo, I got to use that. I love that so much. Wow. Okay. So as far as your painting, what season are you in now? As far as like the jobs you're working, and the time that you're dedicating to your craft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would call myself an emerging artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an abstract painter. Mm-hmm. And so I try to take the thoughts in my head and translate them to, obviously not like literal, forms, but, something that evokes the experience of beauty.
Yeah.
And, right now, I've gone through some different iterations. I've sold paintings to like, home goods stores and I've done commission work for just individuals for their homes. Right now I am kind of in this like development process of trying to hone in where do I want my art to go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, not just who do I want to see it, or I hope I get an opportunity to da-da-da-da-da, but really trying to figure out, like, I really think there's something special that God has gifted me with.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to keep developing my competency and my talent and my vision and all of those things, but I'm excited to start kind of just like testing the waters in new ways for myself, whether that is through just more consistently creating.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying, like giving the time back to ourselves and our own craft.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm ready. Like those ideas are in my mind and I have the competency and I have the skill set and I'm creating the like vision in front of me and I'm trying to make the work and put it out there into the world.
Wow, so good. This is great. Cool. I love that. And it's like, just to me, it sounds like you're just being more intentional.
Yes.
You'd be more intentional and strategic with where it's going. So it's like, oh, I keep creating, but now I want to actually make it make sense. Like what direction do I want it to go?
Yeah.
What's my ultimate goal? Are you making steps towards it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So good. Wow.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, I had a couple of shows in the past couple years and I think, just through relationships, wonderful people in my life who kind of helped me to stop limiting myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge process for artists, for creatives, for human beings to just like, be like, oh, well, this is all I can see for myself is just something that I've seen someone else do and let God kind of blow the top off a little bit and just be open-handed.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, amen. So good. That's awesome. Cool. And then even with that, it seems like you are looking to do the same for other creatives as well.
Yes.
So we have an awesome event coming next weekend on the 16th and 17th.
Yep.
February. Okay. So I want you to tell everyone the name of this event, what's going on, and just even how it came to fruition and to that's about to actually happen, the whole process, you know?
So I'm going to get a little vulnerable here. Mm-hmm. So the name of the event is Practicing Worship. Mm-hmm. And it actually start, well, Practicing Worship is the umbrella of the event. The first event in this series, mm-hmm. Practicing Worship, is called Open Hearts.
Okay.
And back in September, I wanted to have some people around my table, my home, mm-hmm. and invite them to an experience with the Lord of mm-hmm. creating and prayer that I was kind of guiding them mm-hmm. into. So I love, like I said, I love space. Yeah. I love intentional spaces. Mm-hmm. I wanted to set the table with some like tangible ways for people to create mm-hmm. and then guide them through some prayer prompts.
Yes.
And I had planned to do that in September, and I got sick the mm-hmm. weekend that mm-hmm. I was going to do it, so I mm-hmm. had to delay. Wow. And then the week after that, my brother passed away.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't unexpected, but mm-hmm. I wasn't really, yeah. you know, like,
I know you say you're one of five.
Yes, he is the oldest in my family. Oldest. Yeah.
Was he kind of like young, like around?
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
Oh, wow. Sorry
so, to hear that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he had been sick for quite a long time, mm-hmm. A long journey. And I, God is incredible. Mm-hmm. He, again, in those moments of how am I going to be provided for? Mm-hmm. I was looking for work. And mm-hmm. He told me, don't take that job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to take that job right mm-hmm. now. And he knew that I was about to step into a season of grieving.
Yeah.
And
even with the event that you're going to do before, kind of not having, because even, you know, the event would have happened, it still would have been in your mind to the wrap up and the promoting of and all that stuff. So it's like you said, it's crazy. Like he used the physicality of it to kind of slow you down a bit.
Very much so.
You know, I've had moments like that too, where it's just like, I'll just get exhausted.
Yes.
It's just like, cause I can run and run and it's like, just rest.
Yeah.
And he'll do that. It's like, okay, he has to do that sometimes. So
yeah.
He'll set you up to comfort you in that season, you know?
Very much so. It felt so intentional. Like I felt like he just sat me down mm-hmm. and he was like, hey, I know that you're planning this. There's going to be a time mm-hmm. for this.
Yeah.
It's just not right now.
Yeah.
And so for a couple months I was fine with it, mm-hmm. you know, and because I had other things going on and I was thankful to have that time to really process my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously grieving is not like a mm-hmm. 2 month long process.
Yeah.
But I was thankful for those undivided attention
mm-hmm.
months.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of months, I started thinking about it again. Mm-hmm. And as I started thinking about it, I had been hosting some worship nights in my home.
Okay.
I like poke at the piano mm-hmm. a little bit, but I had already been having these very intimate mm-hmm. Worship nights in my house.
Nice.
And every week I would see, like, it was like I was getting these tiny lessons like mm-hmm. every week, and I was experiencing this kind of revival of my own mind mm-hmm. that worship requires intimacy
mm-hmm.
and intimacy requires vulnerability.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that is not always cultivated in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the church is amazing. I think worshiping corporately is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think that we need more experiences yeah. outside mm-hmm. of a yeah. Sunday
mm-hmm.
because it's really hard to expect our pastors and worship pastors mm-hmm. to provide us for everything
yes.
that we need.
That's it.
Like it's kind of unreasonable.
Yeah, it truly is. And even being in that position as a worship pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like being in that position, it's like my whole thing is to, I want to cultivate and teach the congregation throughout the week.
Yes.
We should be worshiping. And,
yes.
And praising God and having those intimate moments with him all the time.
Yeah.
Not just on Sunday. You
yeah.
know, like Sunday, yes, it fills us up, that fellowship and everything, but we shouldn't be, you know, our tank getting low all week and
mm-hmm.
then Sunday is going to fill us up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be an everyday constant relationship thing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I needed it for myself. And so I
yeah.
thought I'm just going to invite people in.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it whether anyone shows
yeah.
up, but I needed it for myself.
I love it.
And every week it was a little different flavor because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a worship pastor,
mm-hmm.
but I know God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I know what it is to turn my eyes towards him
yeah.
and what can happen when I do.
Yes.
And so every week I was seeing these little lessons
mm-hmm.
what it was. 1 week we didn't even talk, we just wrote. Yeah. Like I just spent some time writing. Mm-hmm. 1 week I was really meditating on how the Psalms talk about singing a new song to the Lord. Yes, and it's like, we have a lot of songs that we know. Every person is a worshiper. Where's the new song coming out of your heart?
You better stop. Like, this is literally, I just talked, so a future episode, I'm going to be talking about that. But mm-hmm. I was just talking to someone else about that literal thing of just how, like, there are the same few artists,
yes,
you know, that we listen to,
yes,
you know, all the time, yes, and stuff. And it's just like, all of us should be writing new songs. Like, that's one of my favorite verses. Mm-hmm. Sunday, right after worship, we were on stage, me and one of the musicians, and I was saying, like, in Psalm, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like we should always just have a brand new song in our heart. And sometimes it could take, you know, some of us are songwriters, so it can come a little more easy.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm a songwriter, but my whole team may not be, but that's okay. We can sit there and just talk about what's going on,
yes,
you know, the temperature of the church, what was going on individually, and pull from that different themes and put it together, and then that could be a new song,
yes,
for the church. So that's the heart of mine, too. So that's why when Sarah told me about this event, I got really excited to make this happen.
Yes,
yeah,
man.
Wow.
So is, you know, these little building blocks, mm-hmm, of wanting to do this thing in my home,
mm-hmm,
needing to kind of cancel it,
mm-hmm,
and then taking the couple of months and just having times of worship,
mm-hmm,
intimate times of worship with a few other people. And I just felt like God was building into me, mm-hmm, like my understanding, yes, of what worship can be,
mm-hmm,
and the reality that we need to practice.
Yeah.
Like, we need some spaces, mm-hmm, to practice. We need to be brought into a place where we're invited, mm-hmm, and allowed to, yeah, do things in kind of a, mm-hmm, untraditional, yeah, weird way.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited. So as, mm-hmm, I was hosting those things, one of the worship nights,
mm-hmm,
I just felt like people needed to feel their bodies, mm-hmm, experiencing worship.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so I invited, whoever was at my home,
mm-hmm,
to just take the next step. We, mm-hmm, all have a limit.
Yeah.
We all have a very personal, individual limit to, yeah, what we're willing to give, mm-hmm, in worship that feels, mm-hmm, comfortable.
Yes.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
It might seem the same because we're, mm-hmm, all in the same church,
mm-hmm,
or it might seem the same because the person next to you is doing the same thing,
yeah,
that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But each person has their own individual limit,
mm-hmm,
of what feels comfortable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just invited every person to just take the next step beyond,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
limit,
yes,
to be a little bit more vulnerable. Yeah. And so if you normally sit, mm-hmm, to just stand up. If,
yeah,
you normally raise your hands,
mm-hmm,
to maybe bow down.
Mm-hmm.
If you normally like pray in tongues, but, mm-hmm, like to yourself, just, mm-hmm, like just a little whisper,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just whatever that next step, yeah, was. And so after that night, as I started thinking more about reinvigorating the, mm-hmm, open hearts event,
mm-hmm,
I started thinking about all these different things that people need in worship, mm-hmm, that was beyond just like a time of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that physical embodiment,
mm-hmm,
and what that sacrifice of praise, yeah, can do, mm-hmm, for us.
Yeah.
And Sarah came to mind.
Yeah.
And so, knowing her as a dancer, a choreographer,
mm-hmm,
knowing that as, my understanding is the ground that we have taken, mm-hmm, now we have authority,
yes,
in.
That's it.
And so I think that Sarah has taken a lot of ground in, mm-hmm, in creating with her, like,
mm-hmm,
physical expression in, mm-hmm, her body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to invite her with,
mm-hmm,
me,
mm-hmm,
to foster an, yes, environment of creativity, mm-hmm, in multiple facets.
Yes.
And so I pitched this idea,
yeah,
to her,
yeah,
and she was like, oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah,
and so,
so
we,
cool,
have been planning just for like, and praying for the,
yeah,
last couple months,
mm-hmm,
that people would want to enter into deeper levels of,
mm-hmm,
intimacy,
yeah,
that they would be willing to experiment through activations of painting,
mm-hmm,
singing,
mm-hmm,
and movement,
yeah,
and guided writing,
mm-hmm,
reflections, prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we're going to do a Friday night,
yeah,
7 to 9,
uh-huh,
and then Saturday, 10 to 4 p.m.
Okay, very good.
And
yeah,
it's going to get weird, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Now, I have two things to mention with that.
Great.
So the first thing is a prayer that I'm hearing based off of what you said is, something I'm going to be praying is that the Holy Spirit reveals to each person that moment of what their cap is in their worship.
Yeah.
Because everyone expressing, and then the Holy Spirit say, okay, right here, reveal to them, okay, this is the moment where you have a tendency to kind of stop, where you can go an extra step and reveal that moment, and then cause for them to go ahead and do that next thing, you know? So that's why I'll be praying
for
as it relates to the event. Yeah. And then the next thing with that would be the specific thing of like the weirdness and the funness and everything like that. Is it going to be a component where it's open for individuals to, you know, play? Like, you know, some people have events where it's like, oh, bring your guitar or bring your instrument. And something's going to be something like that. Or is it going to be specific moments dedicated to, or a team that's kind of handling that and everyone's doing their thing?
It'll be
just
pretty.
Just so everybody can know layout.
No, thank you. It'll be pretty led. And so not a ton of open time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I thought it was all this time. Like, oh, it's so much time. Yeah, and then once we started, like, getting into the schedule, I'm that person who's like, don't put a limit on worship. I know. If you're feeling it, just let it go forever. And then as I'm looking at a schedule, I was like, oh, that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard to do.
I was in the same boat when I was first worship leader years ago. You know, when you first doing it, like you look back, like, okay, I was a little immature then.
Yeah.
But it was, I remember having this kind of heated conversation with someone who's kind of over structuring the service, and I was the worship leader. And I was like, why are we putting limits on how long? Like, why are you telling me, okay, the first song, 5 minutes, second song, like, well, what if the Holy Spirit, you know, like, wants me to just keep going, whatever stuff. Like, I wasn't agreeing with that. And he was just telling me, like, you know, there's structure to the service or whatever. So I was like, no, whatever. And as I matured, I was like, okay, yes, this is true. this is true. Because you have to keep everything orderly.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit is not, he's not a guy of chaos and disorder and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just... Yeah, it's just those structures that there's a specific day that's for just that, you know, but you want to make sure you're being honoring to that thing. So, so I remember that, but like I'll have those moments like, I just want to like keep riding on this bridge and on this vamp and all that.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things I told myself was if I make all these plans, we make all these plans and then we get there and then all we do is just sit and pray. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And not that that's the plan. I know that I want all of this structure and everything. Yeah. And I know that tendency to want like the no structure and just let the Spirit move.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we get into this room and that happens where the Holy Spirit is leading and saying, shh. Just sit here for a minute. Mm-hmm. Just listen to me for a minute. Mm-hmm. Just listen to me for an hour.
Yeah.
Just listen to me the rest of this time.
Wow.
I want to be willing to just let that be the case. But, you know, we, what is that scripture? Mm-hmm. We plan our ways and the Lord establishes our steps.
Yeah, exactly,
That's how I feel about this event. So I am open to God taking the event in the direction that He wants it to go. And we have plans.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of take that verse kind of from the negative sense of just like, we make our own plans. Like the idea of like, you shouldn't make your own plans because God, but it's like the idea of like, He wants us to plan and strategize. Otherwise, the temple wouldn't have been built and arranged and decored so beautifully and all these different things and stuff. You have to plan and structure things. We know as artists and stuff too, you know?
Yes.
But with that, you leave room and have your heart and hands open, which was like, I love this open hearts theme. You leave your heart open to like, yo, God, do what you will. Because even like when we did our, it actually flows. I talked to one of my buddies who, he kind of mentors me in worship and in creativity and recording music and things like that. And he was saying like, the more structured it is, the more it's actually you're able to flow. You know, he was explaining that. And I was like, okay. And I actually understood that concept when we did our live recording back in July of last year. It was awesome because we had everything laid out, like the length of the song, the tracks, the BPM, the team, the rehearsal before, all these different things. And then allowed us to be more free because we knew like where it was going, instead of like if we would just kept playing, it's like, okay, when are we going to stop the song or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like everything was already laid out so everyone could just be more free to just be in it.
Yes.
So it just super helps have everything in place. And then God's like,
yes.
And it's honoring to Him. He's our manager.
Yes.
And He's like, okay, you guys are taking this seriously. You know, I can move in this space, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that is important to me that I was talking with Eliza, who's going to be doing the music during the event.
Yeah.
She has and is a new new person to me. So yeah. I'm excited that I get to work with her too. But she has a mastery, I would say is a mastery, of understanding the balance of preparation and submission. And I think that is what you're describing. Yeah, there's a submission to the spirit that really... And it's that way in artwork. Like, if you have a competency, if you gain mastery over the tools that you're using, then you can break the rules.
Yes.
But when you start out breaking the rules, it kind of just ends up looking like really messy and chaotic.
It's all over the place,
and it's you lose the message in the process. And oftentimes you're prioritizing the wrong thing. In worship, we want to glorify God.
Yes, amen.
And if and growing up with a bunch of musicians, a bunch of singers, I get really distracted when worship is not at a level of excellence. And I get bothered when the excellence of the music is more important than the submission to the spirit. So for me, there's like a really sweet spot, like a really sweet spot in... and I've had to, God has had to kind of school me on my critical attitude, thinking that somehow I could do it better than everyone when I don't play that instrument. I don't really sing. I'm not responsible. And so we kind of got to pray into some of those things that God would develop maturity for me and for those that are leading me and those that are serving in the church. That's one of my big prayers is that God would develop maturity, that God would develop people's ears to hear his spirit. And that they would have an understanding of what is pleasing to him in worship. That it's not just about the song.
Yeah.
It is about the spirit that you are agreeing with in worship.
That's okay.
And so that is one of my biggest hopes is that people would take that next step, like your prayer in vulnerability with the Lord, but that they would also be moving from milk to meat.
Yes, that's good. That's so good. Oh man, I love how you're mentioning kind of hearing, like tuning your ear to the spirit.
Yes.
Because we can, like we were talking about, you know, being able to hear music and having that ear for music and things like that. We were talking before we started recording. So that idea of like, okay, we have all the music and have an ear for that. Make sure we have the right chords, the key changes, all of this stuff. But then you're going to be in tune with the spirit too. So how you tune your instrument, be in tune with the Holy Spirit as well. And both of those work in tandem with each other.
Yeah.
That's such a good perspective. I love that.
And every worship team needs practice. It's unreasonable to think that a team would individually come together and then know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to feed off of each other, how to know like what the whoever is actually the leader, like what's their signal for when we're moving on to the next thing, what's the this. And so I think sometimes we know that certain people need to practice certain things, but we don't let ourselves practice some of the things that we really need to cultivate. Like we really need to cultivate an ear to hear God. We really need to do a little bit of dying to ourselves in our comfort, in the things that we give to God. And not everything pleases him. You know, we want to think that it does.
Exactly.
He's so gracious. He's so long-suffering. He's so patient. He knows what we need to grow. But there are sacrifices that are not pleasing to him, that aren't real sacrifices. And he's the one that we want to please. And so I think it's important that we take the time to cultivate our hearts. That's what he says. It has to be like in the heart.
In the heart, man.
In the heart.
That's it. Wow. And like even just like in, what was that, 1st or 2nd Samuel, where he just says like, man always looks at the outer. Appearance.
Yes.
And he says, but I look at the heart. Like he just says right there when he's talking about David, you know, and everything.
Yes.
It's like, man, so like anything we do, and even little moments when Paul would be throwing jabs in the New Testament and stuff, whatever, he'd be like, don't think of yourself as that important. You're not that important. You know, you see little verses in there like that, like don't be like elevating yourself, like stay low.
Yes.
John the Baptist, man, make me, you know, lower and lower so, you know, you could be greater. All those different things in scripture where he's trying to call us to be in that place of humility.
Yes.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a really important conversation this past weekend, and it was, I was in an environment, in a room of people who want to grow. Mm-hmm. And that environment is like one of the keys, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to actually taking vulnerable steps. Because mm-hmm. we spend so much time trying to protect ourselves yeah. and spend so much time, just the way that our brain is mm-hmm. wired mm-hmm. is to protect us.
Yeah.
And so if we can get into a space mm-hmm. that is the space like yep. we're talking about mm-hmm. Itself, yeah. the intention itself, it gives us a little bit more possibility yeah. to take some of those steps mm-hmm. where we don't feel alone,
yeah.
where we can be guided mm-hmm. by someone else, where there's just like that magic sauce, yeah, you know, yeah. in that place yeah. that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think there's things that are holding us back. Like yeah. I want to see people freed.
Yeah. Yes.
I want people to be freed from lies that they believe. That's mm-hmm. very important to me.
Yes.
I want people to see themselves as creative. Mm-hmm. So it is for the artist and it is mm-hmm. for the person who yes, doesn't amen. Think that they have a creative bone in their body, yeah. which is a lie because
yeah.
God made them in their image. Mm-hmm. In his image, and that is one of the core attributes of our God,
yes.
is that he creates.
Something
he can create out of nothing. Like, we need stuff.
Come on, yeah,
we need
exactly.
stuff to create
yes.
out of. But we are creative, mm-hmm. and so whoever you are out there, mm-hmm. if you think of yourself as not creative, if you've told yourself you need mm-hmm. some kind of skill set, as much as I was talking about excellence, mm-hmm. We have to start with something.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants to know, like, what's in your hand? What's in your hand right now? And I will give you a paintbrush. I will give you a room. Mm-hmm. I will give you a space. Sarah will lead you. And, like, you have a body.
Yeah.
We have tools. We have things.
Mm-hmm.
And we can offer them back to the Lord. And you have no idea how he wants to speak to you through mm-hmm. the movement of a brush.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that has been my relationship with God that I want to share with other people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the brush on the paint. When we invite the Spirit in,
mm-hmm.
it is the brush on a paint with the creator of the universe.
Yes, amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hold on. So let me tell you what you just did right now.
Cool.
So every episode we always wrap up kind of with a like a word of encouragement to
yes.
everyone and stuff, whatever. You like already did it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
I didn't even know.
Because usually my next part was literally like, okay, so what's a word that you just jump right into it, like, let's go.
Yeah, man.
No, that's it right there.
Yeah.
So you got to tell everyone how they can, register for this event.
Yes.
All that. Tell them the details. So you guys want to come to this because I'm going to be there. So I would love for you guys to come out. So go ahead and tell people how to make this happen.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So once again, the event is February 16th, mm-hmm. Friday evening and Saturday, most of the day, morning, mm-hmm. afternoon.
Yeah.
You can register on my website,
mm-hmm.
which is thepraingartist.com.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And then you'll go to the events tab mm-hmm. And then you'll see the information to register. The
Perfect.
Tickets are $95.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to provide lunch on Saturday and the materials and just to care for the people who mm-hmm. are invested in this event.
Yeah, that's it. And the link is in the description below on the YouTube video. So you guys will go ahead and click that. It'll take you directly to where you guys can register.
Oh, and I want to mm-hmm. say, make sure to get your tickets before February 10th because mm-hmm. the registration is going to cut off after
yes.
that.
Yes, there we go. So you have a few days. Okay, so you got this week
yes.
to go ahead and register. Okay?
Yes.
It's going to be the following Friday and Saturday. Okay. Love it. That's so awesome. And then is that the way that they could just reach you individually, like you as an artist?
Yes.
Or what would that be?
Yeah. You can reach me through my website, thepraingartist.com, or through my Instagram, which is also The Praying Artist.
I love that name.
Thank you.
That's so good. Look at you.
That's me.
That's so crazy. You didn't have to put no underscores or nothing, whatever.
Nah.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole
I got
thing.
There first.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I love when that happens. That's so good. Oh, man. I love it. Lizzie, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm looking forward to the event and connecting.
Yes.
Working on some things together.
Yeah, man.
It's
going to
be awesome.
Awesome.
So, yes. So, guys, this is another Creative Encounter Podcast episode. Remember, Creative Encounter Podcast and Juett Z. Payne Music is a nonprofit through ACT International. So if you guys want to become monthly partners with this ministry, the link is below so you guys can support. We keep doing the podcast, keep releasing kingdom music, and reach the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we love you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.